But we're starting to transition into the growth and creation period. And this is really important because if we don't look after them now, they're going to be more prone to summer related issues, which are usually related to the vascular system or bonding behaviors. Any kind of herd based dynamics can be affected. Anything with temperature changes, also thermoregulation is really important. Even digestion. The small intestine is one of the four elements that we're going to talk about today, but also really important for transition periods.
Welcome to the Equine Body Talks podcast. We'll be diving into the equine industry from the lens of a body worker, talking to other equine professionals and discussing scenarios around soft tissue work for all equine athletes. I'm Kim Krebs, your host. I've been working for over 2 decades in this industry as a loper, barn manager, and body worker. With the many horses I've worked with in all of these capacities, it has driven me to want to continually find out the why and the hows of equine biomechanics, health, and performance. My mentor and one of our industry's leaders, Tina Watkins of In-Hand Equine Therapy, will also be sharing hosting duties with me. Tina has been an equestrian her entire life and has dedicated the last 25 years to bringing bodywork forward as a professional career through her business, as well as education and teaching of future and current bodyworkers. This podcast is dedicated to opening the conversation around equine wellness, diving deeper into the whole body approach for equine performance horses. We're looking at acupressure again for this episode, but today's focus will be that of transitions. As we near the summer equinox here in the Northern Hemisphere, we'll look specifically at the transition of horses from spring to summer. Transition times always mean a major shift in both our bodies and that of horses. The creation and evolution of the body and all its systems is quite complex, but incredibly intricate when you consider the changes in climate and environment. Especially as animals more susceptible to that climate, a horse's body is meant to gain and decrease in weight and hair coat to help with the warmth during cold days or cooling for long hot days. Along with the hormonal flux for mating season and parturition and behavioral changes for herd dynamics, there are plenty of reasons why transition periods can become quite stressful for an individual. When the body is functioning optimally, these transitions often come and go with little notice. But when there is blockage or dysfunction within the system, problems can arise. As body workers, we will note some of these dysfunctions in a session. We'll hear further on that during the interview. With the addition of some acupressure points to use around the transition time or equinox, you will find out ways you can help your horses through this upcoming spring-summer transition in a few weeks, around the 21st of June. For our guest today, we welcome back Jesse McCowan of Birch Animal Wellness and Tallgrass Canada, as well as Carol Yates, herself a student of Tallgrass Animal Acupressure. Jesse, you will remember from our initial look at acupressure a few months ago in episode 5. If you haven't already heard it, we recommend you go back and listen to it along with this episode today. Jesse owns and operates Tallgrass Acupressure Canada, as well as her own business, working with equine and canine athletes around Ontario, Canada. Carol has studied through the Tallgrass Institute, and along with her background in equine bodywork and her Bachelor of Science, applies acupressure as a significant part of her sessions. They have included for today's conversation a chart to follow that we will be referencing in the conversation, in which you, as a listener, can follow along and utilize to gain more knowledge on specific points for your own horses. This chart will be available on both our social media accounts as well as on our YouTube channel.
We have Jesse back from Birch Wellness, and with her today we have Carol Yates, and today we're going to talk again about acupressure and also a little bit of transition from season to season. So thank you very much, Jesse and Carol, for coming on the podcast today.
You're very welcome.
I think this is a great topic for people because we've had a great introduction already with Jesse to acupressure and the courses that you guys are offering, as well as some of the webinars and information that's coming out. But I don't think that people really think that much about transitioning horses from season to season. And I think this was a neat topic when I heard you guys were interested in presenting something like this. So maybe Jesse, let's start with you to begin with. Can you give us just a little bit of an idea of why somebody would want to think about seasonally addressing their horse?
Yes, absolutely. So those of you that live on a farm, you'll kind of know a little more about this because it functions seasonally. As we transition from spring to summer, certain things, certain job functions shift. You know, you're getting pastures ready, or you're getting, you know, the sporting areas outside ready, or you're transitioning even your gardens or everything like that. That's typically what people think of when they think of seasonally transitioning. For our animals, not only is the temperature changing, but there's a lot of energetic shifts that are happening. And in traditional Chinese medicine, there are actually five seasons, not four. So spring, summer, late summer, fall, and winter. And they're actually compared to transitional periods. So for example, in the winter, it's the storage season. So this is when all of the healthy nutrients have been stored from all your action, and you're making sure that you're looking after yourself during the winter. Spring is synonymous with the birth, which is when all the fresh things come up, the flowers come up, you know, green starts appearing outside, which is really nice. But we're starting to transition into the growth and creation period. And this is really important because if we don't look after them now, they're going to be more prone to summer-related issues, which are usually related to the vascular system or bonding behaviors. Any kind of herd-based dynamics can be affected. Anything with temperature changes, also thermoregulation is really important. Even digestion. The small intestine is one of the four elements that we're going to talk about today, but also really important for transition periods.
Yeah, that's really, I love how you said that, transitioning, because, you know, I think lots of us think about our horses maybe changing coat coming into spring. That would be one of the big things they notice. But I love that you're talking about transitioning, because Kim and I had Danny Croach on the podcast, and he was talking a lot about how, you know, you are going from that storage season of winter, and that's the word I wrote down as you were speaking about winter, into spring. And so, you know, he was talking about that from his aspect as well. So could you just take us a little bit more into how much is changing in your horse when you're going from your storage season to your season of birth, growth, and creation?
Yes. So the idea of storage, if we think about it in terms of wild animals, even, for example, if you have birds or squirrels, they store all their food during the winter. That's when their activity level is the lowest. In the spring, it takes a big spike because that is mating season for a lot of animals. And then it spikes again. And in a lower level in the summer, because this is also the hottest season, this is the highest yang time, because yang is associated with fire and heat, the highest yang time of the whole year. So this is usually when animals are at their most exuberant, most hyper, and that usually results in injuries.
I think if we, out west, we would think more in terms of bears. Think of them as hibernating in winter and coming out in, you know, coming out in the spring, and their high activity level in the summer. And then as they transition into sort of the fall period, they're hibernating, you know, they're gathering food, gathering body mass and fat to carry them through the winter. So I think that, you know, bears for those of us who live out west are a good example too.
And does this also correlate to, you had mentioned all the different areas of transition that, but I'm also thinking hormonal as you're talking about, you know, mating season, but also hormonal from the aspect of, like Tina had mentioned, the shedding of the coat, or in the fall, the growing of the coat. So is this also something that will affect on that level with the hormones?
Biologically, yes. A lot. There's a lot of shifts, especially with the change in daytime. So as the amount of daylight changes, their energy changes, whether they are aware of it or not. we're the same way in that when there's more daylight, people want to be outside more, we're more active. When it's dark, we naturally want to spend more time inside. So we are a very good mirror for that behavior, but there's so many things that are affected. It's good to start aiding the transition. And I know some acupressure practitioners who actually promote during these times of year, transitional sessions to kind of help horses or dogs or cats transition through this time.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And the other thing that you'd mentioned when you were talking earlier, Jesse, was that the horse's actual condition is changing. And I know that as body workers, we really feel that, you know, you're coming out of that winter session and you start to feel that the tissue builds quicker. There's more changes being made with the same amount of activity. Can you just go into that just a little bit more? You know, it doesn't have to be like super in depth, but I think just so people understand, because the whole system is firing back up. Is that what we're hearing you gals say?
Yeah. So it's kind of like a reboot. If you think about it, in the winter, we're kind of dusting off all of our, you know, nicer clothes. We're going outside. We're trying to get ourselves excited about things. The animals kind of work the same way, where their muscles, in the same way that we build muscles, you have to kind of tear old muscles to build new muscle on top of that. So soreness is really common in the spring summer transition, because they've been building these muscles in the spring. And now, in order for them not to overdo it or hurt themselves, you kind of have to support that system.
I love that idea of looking at the body and looking at kind of getting ahead of maybe some problems that we know this transition creates. So I really love your thought process there. Just to put in here, because you guys from Tallgrass Institute have allowed the listeners to have a little transitional recipe.
I guess the easiest way is to think about it. There's a whole series of halt points on the horse that allow, that can help through in this transitional period. And what we thought we would do is share with your listeners a few points that are probably easy to find and are also very helpful. They're not the only ones, but they're probably the most common ones that are used. And as I said, they're easy to find. So we've selected those as sort of as a starting point for people to think about transitioning from spring to summer.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I love that. And Jesse, could you just go over with people? I know you did a really good job in the first episode that we had you on, but could you just go over with people that are interested in looking at the sheet you're providing, how someone would go about utilizing those points?
So in general, when you're doing acupressure, in this case, we've provided a couple for you, and there's a really great diagram with locations of where the points are, including anatomical descriptions and the energetics of the points. Carol was nice enough to put the anatomical descriptions in layman's terms instead of our traditional Chinese medicine, more anatomically dense language. So it's easier for you guys to find them. But the idea is, when you're using these points, Carol's actually going to go over point combination. So there's actually a couple you can hold together. So it's actually two points and you can hold and it only counts as one. And we'll get more into that when we talk about unilateral versus bilateral points, meaning the meridians on both sides. So you have to do one on the left leg and one on the right leg versus unilateral, which is, I think, the one that I'm talking about. But the idea is, the pressure that you would use on these points, if you wear contacts, it's about the pressure you use to put your contact in. If you don't wear contacts and you touch your eyelid, it's about the pressure you would use to actually feel the shape of your eye around your eyelid. So it's actually not that hard. A lot of people get a little confused and think it's more like massage, where you're using your muscles. Is that some of the areas you're working maybe a little more delicate? It doesn't really seem like a good idea to use all of your force. So it's actually very, very gentle. You can hold the points for about 60 to 90 seconds, depending on where they are and how the animal responds to that point. But you would do them maybe every third day if you're not doing a full session. For practitioners that see this, you can include them in your point work. You can include them in part of your assessment. But typically for just using the points in general, you want to hold them for 60 to 90 seconds.
And these points specifically that you guys have supplied everybody here, they're ones that we talked, just to clarify, that are from spring to summer transition. So this would not be appropriate to use in the fall for another transition period.
No, because if you think about it from the standpoint of you're trying to get them ready for when you're hitting the maximum energy is in the spring. On the other hand, when you're transitioning to some of the later seasons in the year, their body, their energy is going internal into their body. And so you actually don't deal with them energetically the same way. I also wanted to add something to Jesse's. I know as a practitioner, I have basically a very simple three rule thing when I'm working with an animal. First one is I ask permission. The second thing is there are lots of points on the horse. There's something like 300. I can't remember the number. You would know it, Jesse, offhand.
361.
Yeah. So the general rule is start small. I would probably suggest if you're just starting with an animal, you know, 3 to 5 points at any particular point. And the third piece is go soft. You mentioned the eyeball pressure, but those are my three go-tos, you know, ask permission, start small, and start soft.
Yeah, those are really important. I love that, Carol, because, you know, some of the people that are listening are going to want to try these things and they've never had the exposure, or maybe they've never even seen an acupressure practitioner even work on a horse. And I think those are really important things, because sometimes in North America, we think more is better, right? Like we think, yeah. Oh, we're just going to hit them with something and it'll be better if I hold it longer or do more points in a row. How often would this be a good time to get into kind of how often somebody would use these points?
Typically, you can do them every 3 days. It really depends on the animal, because each animal is different. If you're working on a very young animal, a very sick animal, or a very old animal, you want to not overdo it. So you want to do it a little bit less often. If you're working on a healthy, you know, middle-aged athlete, basically, who's very, very healthy, then you're okay to do it a little more frequently. But it's on a case-by-case basis. So always think about the animal you're working on and kind of structure it that way.
And as we're talking about the transition from spring to summer, when would you start and how long would you go till?
That's a great question. So a lot of people go based on the solstice. So when the actual change in season happens, and usually you can do it either a week or 2 weeks before and then a week or 2 weeks after. So typically it's actually a pair of sessions, if not more. Some people just do two, but one before and one after to kind of bridge them, make sure everything moves smoothly through, and then go from there. Some need more, again, case by case basis.
Right. So June 21st then, summer solstice is.
And Jesse, one thing that when I listened back to our podcast with you originally that I don't think I got a chance to ask you in that one, but I think it would fit in perfect here. What if people see a negative change? So we talked a lot about in the first podcast, what changes to look for and, you know, how you know that acupressure is working, how it's being accepted by the horse. So anybody that didn't listen to that episode, please go back, because Jesse really articulated things really well. I re-listened to that episode yesterday, but I don't think that we got a chance to go over what if somebody sees something that the horse isn't doing well with the points. Maybe they notice their horse like with a little less energy the next day. They're just not themselves. Can you go over that a little bit?
Yeah. So if we think about, for example, a horse with digestive issues, it's usually a really easy example. So if the animals or the horse is having digestive discomfort and it's not colic, we know it's not colic, and I'm working, or whoever is working on them, stimulates points in the digestive tract. The idea is if there's something, if it's constipation, all of that's going to come out. So they may have a case of diarrhea and it'll all come out and then they'll feel better. So sometimes they have to get whatever is in their system out of their system. When we're first learning about meridians, one of the examples that Amy and Nancy, of Tallgrass and Acupressure Resources loves to give is think of the meridians like rivers. If there's a bunch of stones blocking that river, the flow is going to stop, basically. And our job is to remove the stones so that it can flow more smoothly. So for example, if the animal is having joint pain and the blockage was in the knee, and you're working on removing those boulders one by one, they may have more sensation in that area and be more sensitive in that area for a little bit while you're still removing them, because all of a sudden things are flowing through there and they can feel what's happening there. And if they have an injury there, then all of a sudden they're going to feel that more. Once it's all gone and it's flowing smoothly, sometimes it takes a day or so. I've seen it happen with my own dog at home when she's having digestive issues. I do stomach 36, which I may or may not have mentioned in the last podcast episode, but a day or so later, she's good to go. Sometimes she has a little issue for a day or so and then she's okay. But we have to think about it energetically. Things don't always instantaneously disappear. This is Eastern medicine and not Western medicine. So things move a little bit more slowly, but you're getting to the root of the issue rather than just treating what you see.
Right. And so if someone, a horse, dog, human, got a little bit stuck in spring, can you do that? Can you kind of get where the body doesn't do that automatic transition and it stays in the birth, growth, creation phase and it doesn't come through? Is that kind of a possibility, or how does that work?
I don't know that I've ever seen it, but I think it could be, because if, for example, the two meridian systems that are in the spring are liver, gallbladder. And if the animal has a weak liver, gallbladder organ system, and again, we're talking about the Eastern organ system, not the Western organ system. If they have issues there, energetically, they may get stuck there and their transition will be more difficult, because you want the two systems, the one you're transitioning out of and the one you're transitioning into, to be strong, to make that transition smooth. So if one pair or both are not balanced, then you're going to have a difficult transition period.
And then would that show up more so when you were describing earlier about that sometimes things have to clear in order for the horse to actually heal? Would that come out in a little bit more of that clearing, or maybe getting stuck, like the digestive example you used? So, you know, I've got a couple horses I'm thinking of right now in my practice that have pretty regular diarrhea when they're changing coat over. So is that something that they could get a bit stuck with?
It's something that can get slowed down. And if energetically, externally, the environment is going to shift regardless. I mean, global warming is affecting it a little bit with temperature and everything, but environmentally, externally, things are changing. So internally, if our bodies are not transitioning with the external environment, there's going to be some dysregulation there for sure.
Carol, you were describing to me that, I can't remember if you said it was a client horse or one of your own horses, was stocking up quite a bit. Is that a transitional thing as well, where you are seeing a little bit more fluid pooling in the legs?
In the legs, or you can see it sometimes in the bottom of their abdomen. All of a sudden, you'll just see these sort of fluid pockets underneath the horse and say, what the heck is this? It's an edema. And you see those a lot of times in the transitional periods. And of course, the goal there is to work on the system so that the body fluids are flowing in a better way and not stocking up in certain places.
And Jesse, would that be part of the slowdown that you were just speaking of?
I would say yes. Energetically, edema is usually related more to water. So more related to the bladder system, which is winter, but any stagnation can actually cause that energetic stagnation.
Thank you guys so much. Or Carol, I think specifically you that put together this chart for everybody to take a look at. And I know this is obviously an audio program, but this will be up on the social media and as well will be up on the YouTube so people can follow along. But do you guys want to go through right now? So this again is for any anybody, right? You have this, they're very basic points that any owner could even do for their own horses. It's a great thing for that, no matter what your horse is going through, is just to help with their transition. So whether or not you're seeing something significant or not.
That's right. And we've chosen a number of points. There's one combination that you can use together, and we'll talk about those too. First combination is something called pericardium 6 and triple heater 5. And these points are easy to locate because particularly if you go down the foreleg and you hit the chestnut, and the chestnut right inside or in front of the chestnut is pericardium 6. And very, very easy to find. And sometimes you'll also find a saphenous vein that runs in front of there. But if you just lightly touch there, and then if you take the thumb of that same hand and you run it onto the foot, the other side, the outside of the foreleg, right at the same point is basically where TH5 or triple heater 5 is. And if you put your fingers on both of those, you can work on them simultaneously. The other pair, one is called a heart 7 and the other is pericardium 7. And they're located, if you run your fingers down the foreleg of the horse, you'll come to the accessory carpal bone. And just if you go on either side of the accessory carpal bone, you'll feel a little divot in both places. One is pericardium 7, the other that is on the outside is heart 7. Each of those points is very powerful, but if you use them in tandem, energetically, they're even more so, and they can be done simultaneously and count as just one point. I think Jess is going to describe a couple of others that you can use.
One really great thing about the point combinations before we go forward is that if you're working on an older horse or a sick horse and you can only use, say, 4 points, those will only count in total, because it's bilateral, 2 on the left leg, 2 on the right leg, it'll actually count as 2. So it gives you a little extra bang for your buck if you're trying to get as much in. But the 2 points that I want to talk about, one is for shoulder injuries. So it's actually quite common in the season for, you know, they're running and they hurt themselves, and some horses will not want to be touched by the shoulder. There are 2 other points that we use for shoulder injuries, but they're on the shoulder themselves. So small intestine 3 is what you would call a distal point, which means it's away. Distal means towards the feet, which means that it's not near the injury, so it's not going to hurt them. They're not going to be sensitive in that area, but you can still energetically support the shoulder. So this one is on the lateral side of the foreleg also. And if you trace down the foreleg on the lateral side towards the lateral splint bone, you're near the fetlock at the end of the lateral splint bone. So just before their little pastern, just before that, they have kind of a dip where it rounds out where their ankle is. Just above that on the lateral side is small intestine 3. And energetically, it helps to, it's also a calming point, but it does help with shoulder. It helps with inflammation in that area. And it also helps to drain any pathogens from the heart meridian. And that sounds like a lot of traditional Chinese medicine jargon, which it is. But basically, the meridian system of the heart and small intestine are paired together. They're one of the sister pairs, is what you call them. And energetically, the heart and the small intestine work on not only bonding, but circulation. Small intestine helps to discern between good and bad. So it helps them make better choices. Sometimes knowing the difference between right and wrong doesn't mean they'll make better decisions, because they also have to have the impetus to follow through on that decision. And that's a different organ system. But that is one of the 2 points. The other one is actually even easier to find. And it's not on one of the 12 major meridians, because this meridian is unilateral, meaning it's in one location and one location only. So on the dorsal midline, which runs from basically the end of the horse's nose all the way up directly along the spine to where the tail starts, it's called the dorsal midline. If you think of a dorsal fin on a shark, it's on the top. The opposite of it is ventral midline, for anyone that's curious about that. So governing vessel 14 is located on the dorsal midline, as I said, in the front of the highest point of the withers. So if you're looking at the shoulders, this point is actually not for shoulders, believe it or not, but it's located at the highest point on their neck where their neck joins the shoulders.
So if there's a little divot there usually too.
Yeah. Nice to find. Most horses aren't touchy there. So it's also really easy to find. And it's directly on top of the spine because it's on the midline. And this one is not only a great calming point, it helps to kind of reset their brain a little bit almost. So if they're kind of overly anxious, it kind of helps with that. It helps to facilitate and regulate chi and chi flow. So I don't know if we explained this in the first podcast, but chi is basically the life force energy in traditional Chinese medicine. So if an animal doesn't have chi, they won't be alive. So in this case, you need it to be alive. For us, it's like another vital substance. In Eastern medicine, this includes blood, vital substances, phlegm, all of that good stuff. But it relaxes the sinews. And if the horse is overheating, because summer is the highest yang period, it's the warmest time of the year in most countries, this point helps with overheating. So if you're worried about your horse getting sunstroke or having symptoms of heat stroke, this is a really great point.
And which point was that again? Just because there was a long definitions and if people are driving, just could we say the name of that point again?
Yes, governing vessel 14, GV 14. And it's directly at the, in front of the highest point of the withers.
And that point, because it is so calming, is that something that you can use on its own outside of this transition period? If you have a horse, even at a horse show, for instance, that seems to be getting anxious or, you know, not wanting to load into a trailer or anything like that, would this be a good point to be able to use at any point?
Yes. So all of the points that we've mentioned can be used. For example, if the horse has a shoulder injury, you can use small intestine 3 at any time of the year. They're just energetically, they're of the 4 fire meridians. So you have heart and small intestine, which is one pair, and you have pericardium and triple heater, which is the other pair, which are the ones that Carol talked about. So you're kind of covering all our bases, one from each meridian and a bonus point.
Super. And a bonus, I like that. And you had mentioned earlier that sometimes early spring brings injuries because, of course, a lot of horses have been off. And so I really like that you had also said earlier, if you're using these points for assessment. Now, because you've said that a couple times, could we go back to that just a little bit? For people that are just owning their own horse, what would you mean by, you know, using these points for assessment? What would they notice?
So if you're doing a normal session from start to finish, if you're a horse owner and you don't know the whole session protocol, basically if you feel the points and they feel unusual. So typically with acupressure, we learn kind of what to feel for. If the temperature is a little bit different or maybe the density of the point, so maybe it's soft, your finger kind of sinks into it, or maybe it's hard, maybe it's inflamed at that point and it's a little bit, you know, raised. All of those are indicators of a disharmony in that system. So these are all things that we look for. So when we're talking assessment, typically you do gather all of your information when you're doing a session. And before you choose points to work on, you do assessment. So you check to see energetic disharmonies along the bladder meridian. And if you're trying to choose which points to do, sometimes again, there's 361, there's a lot of choices, but if you're trying to choose, you can kind of feel a couple and see which ones feel disharmonious before you choose, if you're not sure. So it's a good way to check.
And then because you've given everybody a little kind of a little program or protocol, maybe is a better way to say it, do they need to use all of these points that you gals have put together on the sheet from Tallgrass that is available to everybody for the transition to be eased or to be helped? Or because the points all have their own things that they help, So is it that when you use them together that it creates that transition?
Not necessarily. Carol, do you want to take this one?
Sure. I was going to say too, I think Jesse touched on it before, depending on the animal, sometimes you might only want to use one or two points. And so in fact, all of these points energetically are geared towards calming the horse, calming their spirit, clearing their brain, you know, so each one of them have that function. So in combination, they're powerful, but each one of them can be used once or in combination. The other thing is we mentioned PE6 or pericardium 6. It's also the master point for the whole front end for the chest and the front portion of the abdomen. So it can be used for just even by itself if you have problems in that area. Again, getting back to what Jesse was saying earlier, you have to really look at the animal to sort of see what do they need. But these are generally good points that can be used by themselves or in combination.
When we're talking pericardium and triple heater, most people have never heard of that before. They're kind of strange jargon terms. The rest at least sound like organs that humans have. Pericardium is an energetic, it's the heart protector. So it works with trust issues, bonding issues, maybe herd cohesion if there's difficulty with animals adjusting in the herd. The triple heater is its own fun little system. It's not a physical organ. It's another energetic system, and it basically functions like a cooking pot. So I'm going to explain this as simply as I can. The lid is where food or things come into the system. The pot itself is where things get cooked, and the drainage ditch is the organ systems that help to remove everything. So the triple heater essentially functions to make sure everything is working together. Everything is communicating, which is why it works with thermal regulation. It works with digestion. It works with behavioral cohesion. It works with any changes in the environment. It works with thermal regulation. All of it kind of together. So if in the transitional period, for example, your horse was struggling to, maybe you just rescued a horse and you're introducing them to the herd, I would use the pericardium triple heater points because that would help strengthen the bond of them. And you can even use it on other horses in the herd to kind of help bring them together. So again, it depends on which issues, because obviously there are behavioral and physical transitional periods as our body transitions. Energetically, there's also changes going on with the horses themselves and within, because they are herd animals, with the other horses in the herd.
Yeah, that was really well said.
Yeah, I like that too. Ladies, may I ask, when you're suggesting to people that they can do two points at the same time, are you putting the same eyelid pressure on both of those points? Do you find them both and press them at the exact same time for the same length? Is that just done as if it is just one point?
I think you just described it right there, Tina. The answer to that is yes. And especially when you're working on the foreleg, there's also some in the back leg that work the same way. But for example, on the heart 7 and the pericardium 7, if you think of it as just, you know, being on either side, holding them simultaneously with the same pressure, and then they count as one.
And can you do that on both sides of the body, Carol? Can you hold the two points on the left and the two points on the right, or is that overwhelm?
No, I think that that's, you know, if you work on one side of the body and then you go and work on the other side of the body, I would never do it four sets of points at once.
And if somebody is using these transition points and they're, you know, doing, like you guys had mentioned, a session before the solstice and a session after the solstice, how would people realize that then they wouldn't need to do another session after the solstice? Like, for instance, you know, you did one before and you're like, okay, this is great. This is really neat. I want to try this. They do another one after. And then I know you guys had mentioned earlier that if you were going to do sessions, you would try to do them about 3 days apart. How would they know that they maybe should go ahead for another session?
I think it depends on which transitional issue the horse is having. energetically, you can do transitional sessions, whether they have obvious issues or not. Usually people will do it if the animal has an actual issue. So for example, if every spring the horse presents with the same issue, transitional sessions would be really effective for that horse. Energetically, it's going to help regardless. But if, for example, the horse has, say, difficulty regulating inside the herd, maybe they're a little bit, we call it excess. So if the animal is excess fire, that means there's too much. They're too exuberant. They're kind of annoying all the other horses by being too hyper. They would need another session. Sometimes it's a little less obvious. That's obviously the most extreme example. But if the horse is still kind of struggling in a day or so, maybe two, you're always welcome to do another one. These points are universally helpful. I mean, there's always more points. We could talk about points all day for different issues. But again, if your horse is still struggling with something, I would just keep trying.
Yeah. You know, and if you start to see the change, you might continue it for, you know, maybe one or two more sessions and then just leave it. The interesting thing with animals, and I'm sure all of you who've worked with them know, I mean, the animals and their bodies tell you. And so when it's enough, it's enough. And sometimes the horses actually tell you they don't want you to work on things anymore. Jesse mentioned you can hold the thing, the points from 60 to 90 seconds. I've had horses at 30 seconds and say, I've had enough, and they'll just walk away from you.
And also maybe a good indicator if something is not seemingly working, that they're still very anxious or they're still full of fire, to then search out and find a qualified individual to be able to come and either help you, maybe you're not locating the points as effectively as you think you are, or to maybe there's something more significant that needs to be addressed as well. That is, it's not just the transition period that they're struggling with, but something in addition to.
I think for me, the last thing on my list here to ask you guys about, and again, we just talked about so much on the first episode, Jesse, that we didn't get a chance to ask all the questions, but I just wonder if you could just address, there's a lot of gadgets out there that you see, and we see it as well in the massage world. You know, you see these different massage guns, you see the vibration plates, you see all kinds of things. So in you guys' land, there's a bunch of different gadgets as well. I know there's different like little crystal wands that people use to do the acupressure with. There's a red light that people use to do acupressure with, microcurrent, several things like that. When people are just investigating this on their own, could you just tell us honestly how effective just your hands are? Because I think people think that, you know, if they're gonna try this, they need to get out there and get one of these things that maybe in the right hands do an excellent job. But could you just go over that? Because I think people get a little confused as to how just finger pressure could do as much as some of these other tools are doing.
That's a great question. For me personally, when I was starting acupressure, I think learning how close to the surface the meridians are was a game changer. Because if you think about it, the meridians are right below the skin. That's why we use eyelid pressure to actually reach them. So it's very different from massage. You don't need a lot of pressure. So some of the tools can kind of enhance the energy of the session, but you don't need to go deep into the body. You don't need tools that kind of push into the muscle themselves because the meridians are so close to the surface. Again, it is an energetic therapy. And personally for me, it's easier for me to feel disharmonies if I have my actual hands on them. Right? Because if you're feeling for temperature changes, you can't really do that through, you know, a massage gun or a crystal or any of that. I do actually have a set of cold lasers, and one of the ones they sell with the kit is an acupressure laser or an acupuncture laser, and I never use it. Because for me, being able to feel, first of all, feel the disharmony with my actual hands, but two, it makes the animal calmer when you're not using any extra tools, because it's more like they're just being, you know, petted and getting attention rather than trying to bring in all these other things. And for horses that are, for example, anxious around noises or spook really easily, when you're just coming in with your hands, it's easier for them to relax into the session, and then it'll be more effective.
Yeah, and maybe to add to that too, it's a case of I've used other tools, but I find that the superior thing is I'll always go to the hands first. And then if I need to do something else, for example, I'll use an energetic system that is incorporating the whole body. I'll use my hands first to let me know and to assess what the situation is that I'm dealing with before I go into any other tool.
Yeah, I think you said that really well, Carol, because I think that in uneducated hands, some of these tools can do more harm. I think once you're very well educated, I use a lot of tools myself as well. I think they do a very good job, but I loved both of those descriptions because for people that are starting out, honestly, just your finger touch is going to get you further than if you were going to go in with something else.
Yeah. And I think if you enter a room and you've got your back to people, somebody comes along and touches your shoulder, you know that they've touched you. And that's all that we're talking about in terms of here, because we have the energy in our own bodies and the horses respond to it. And start off, getting back to my simple rules, start off simple and start off soft and slowly. And, and you can go from there and the animal will start to trust you and let you get in there.
I love the point too, because I think oftentimes people get the gadgets first thinking that it's going to be easy or easier because they haven't developed the feel with their hands. And so whether they are just an individual that is not even aware of, obviously we're talking acupressure here, but I think the same could be said for the massage world too. They haven't had a lot of education in the field, but they see an acupressure tool or they see the massage tool. So then they think, oh, good, I don't have to learn because the tool's going to do it for me instead, right? So I love your analogy that you had, Carol, about how go to the hands first, because obviously just like us humans, we prefer a touch rather than something cold or unfamiliar being directed towards us. So can't thank you guys enough again for joining us today and being super about bringing together the points that people can also take home with them. I think everybody loves to have a little bit of something they can take away. So we really appreciate the time and the effort you put into doing that. And would love to know, how would they get a hold of you guys individually if they're interested in having you out or just even learning more? Because Jesse, of course, you're in charge of the Tallgrass Institute here in Canada.
So our website, if you want to learn more about programs or even get links to Tallgrass Animal Acupressure Resources in the States, is really, really wonderful. They have over 300 articles and blogs about points similar articles structured similarly to this. So if you want to learn more about that, that's on animalacupressure.com in the States. If you want to learn more about the practitioner program, that's Tallgrass, T-A-L-L, grass, Canada.com.
And I know from my end, if there are people in and around the Calgary area and they're having issues and they want to explore a little further, they can get a hold of me at carolayates50@gmail.com.
Thank you so much, ladies. And we'll make sure we link those in the show notes. And thank you so much for coming on. And Jesse, we're really looking forward to hopefully bringing you, if the pandemic ever allows, hopefully bringing you here so that those that are interested in taking a course will be able to soak up some of your fantastic wisdom. So thank you very much.
I'm looking so much forward to it.
It's great to have more tools in our toolkits when dealing with a horse's complicated system. As Carol and Jesse were mentioning, you'll want to start with these points about 3 days prior to and 3 days after the summer equinox on June 21st. Of course, for those living in the Southern Hemisphere, the time of year for this transition will be switched on the calendar. So for you, the spring to summer transition will occur during your summer equinox in September instead of June. As always, your horses should be evaluated before any bodywork to ensure they are healthy enough to receive it. Should you have any questions, bring it forward to your wellness team surrounding your horse for an evaluation. If you'd like to learn more about acupressure, you can connect to the Tallgrass Animal Acupressure sites in various countries, or specifically with Jesse here in Canada, through their website at www.tallgrasscanada.com, or on their social media sites under the same handle. Both Carol and Jesse are available to help body workers or owners alike in Alberta and Ontario, respectively. You can reach Carol by email at carolayates50@gmail.com and Jesse at birchanimalwellness@gmail.com. All of this will be available on our show notes as well. As we've mentioned before, we at InHand are also working with Jesse to hopefully offer some acupressure courses here in Alberta in the fall and winter, as long as the restrictions will allow. So keep posted on that through our social media under the handle at InHand Equine Therapy on both Facebook and Instagram. Thank you for listening to this episode. We appreciate each rating and review you can give to help grow this podcast. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook under Equine Body Talks, or connect with us by email at equinebodytalks@gmail.com. To learn more about courses by InHand Equine Therapy, please follow them on Instagram and Facebook as well, and their online course platform at inhandequinetherapy.podia.com. Remember to always be an advocate for your horse and not be afraid to open the conversation around your horse's wellness team.